Greetings, strangers. I'm Britt.
And I'm Dee. I was waiting.
Waiting on what? The shenanigans?
You? Yes.
I don't have any shenanigans because I have two old black men in my residence doing enough shenanigans for the both of us. So,
man.
Don't want to have to do any extra editing like I did last time. So just disclaimer, folks, I have my pops and his bestie making a lot of ruckus.
That is hilarious.
Like, you too old for this? Is you too old for this?
Never mind.
Oh,
what?
I was gonna say, can't hear each other.
Yeah.
He probably don't even listen anyway, so it don't matter. But my mama listening and be like, did you know your daughter said put you on blast? Don't help her.
I say it wasn't me. I didn't say it.
That's funny. But yeah, welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World
After All, the podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. Hold on. Back like we never left. I was having some technical difficulties, but we... But we're here, reunited, and it feels so good. I feel like we haven't done this in like 2 weeks.
I don't like
that. You like the good, reunited, as we're understood. It's one thing, I don't know the rest, but. Cause it's reunited, hey. That was good, you gotta get somebody on the opposite end of this is like, that girl can psych.
Man.
That girl good. Come to America.
Okay.
It does feel like we haven't done it in a while. Hasn't it been like two
weeks? It does. Yeah.
Or a week and a half? Yeah.
Yeah, because we did... Oh, because we didn't do a regular episode for last week. That's what it was.
We did.
Yeah.
Yo, can man. Wait a minute. I
Brittany
feel like one of our listeners
hater.
Charged me up. Wait a minute. I feel like one of our
Please
listeners.
Tell me
on.
They did. Please
Wait,
tell
I
me
feel
they
like
did.
That was like something about like you a Candyman hater. And I said, I never said nothing about Candy. Look, listen to my voice. Yeah, they said, I'm mad you're a Candyman hater. I forgot to respond.
What?
I'm about to respond to them. But I need, if Dee can defend herself against being discriminatory against old people, I
that
would
is
like
two
a chance
completely
to
different
my...
things.
No,
that is two.
I literally
for
gave
the
it a
record,
three.
I don't hate
no, I know.
Old people. I dislike.
I said discriminate. I need to say
people.
Hate. I said it's discriminatory.
Same thing. No,
that's what I'm saying. You already defended yourself, and you know we know. Give me a chance. I literally gave it a 3.
And
I said it's worth the watch. I even made a call to action at the end of the episode. I said, I feel like, you know, everyone should watch it, but especially the black community. I was standing up
Kudos
for it.
To the person, whoever that was. tell them I said thank you.
I'm not a Candyman hater, but how does it feel? It's out in the world.
And just she not only is she a Candyman hater, she is a people under the stairs hater.
I don't hate the
well.
People under the stairs. I think that the people under the stairs is weird, but I don't hate the people. I think it's weird. I really do.
Oh, it's weird. It is very
it's real weird.
But that one is coming soon. It's not going to be the next one, but it's coming soon.
And I would think if I was a Candyman hater, I would have gave it less than a 3. I would have gave it like a 1 point something or a 2 point something just to really drive it home. But anyway, it's out there for consumption, people. And it's probably now one of my favorite movie reviews. I always like
really?
Movie reviews. Yeah,
it's I was gonna say you say that about all of them.
No, it's really funny. I was like, I was crying laughing again. Like, we weren't the ones that recorded it. I was crying laughing because I was crying at this time when you had called her, talk about she looked like Cynthia, and I was like, oh my god, I can't even breathe. It was just some really good moments in the episode. If y'all haven't seen it,
please listen, please, for me.
Para D. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to say El hombre de dulce, the candy man.
There you go. In today's episode, we discuss the tragic murder of Cassie Jo Stoddart, a high school student who was brutally stabbed to death.
Had you heard of this before, or did you stumble on it when you were looking for something to do, or how did you come across this? Do you remember?
I came across this, I don't remember because it was years ago. It had to be one of those, it's so many true crime shows.
Yeah.
It had to be one of those because I watched so many, but it was when we were like right before we moved into the intro, maybe like a year prior to when we moved into the intro.
When you at first heard about it or watched something with this case featured?
Yeah, when I watched whatever it was. And I honestly cannot remember what I watched. It may have been True Crime Daily or something like that.
Oh, okay. I just had never heard of this one, and it's so tragic. It's so pointless. And I was just like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And yeah, I wondered if you had intentionally sought it out or if you just stumbled across it.
Now, this one was actually when we first were talking about doing a podcast, this was one of the first ones on my list. I just never got around to doing it because it's so much.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, it was so many topics. So I was like, let me just pick, because I was intentionally trying to pick more like lighter stuff like when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
You did good. The story, not to say that the stories recently haven't been good, but like, I'll go back and look at like the stories like from the first season and be like, we really mm-hmm. did have like a really fun or a really good strange first season, because you got like Carl Tanzler, you got Omima, is that her name? Oh
yeah, Omima,
that allegedly ate her husband, you know, whatever.
Yeah
you got some good gems.
Yeah, the lady who, what was her name, Sharon, was it Sharon?
Oh, Lopaka or something like that.
Yeah,
that
her
wanted, her sexual fantasy was to die, right, by like strangulation or something like that.
Yes,
but
no,
it was
something weird, but she did want to die.
Girl.
I was like, what in the world?
Some strange ones, but I was gonna say something else, but never mind. I guess the universe is like, girl, start, because I feel like I have one more thing to say to you. Hold on, don't do drugs, don't even do marijuana anymore.
Lord.
Okay, if it'll pop up. words to live by. If it pop up.
You sound like that little boy. Have you
Which
ever
one?
Had a dream that you would,
oh,
you
would try? You that thing you posted? I was cracking up with them singing it.
Oh yeah,
would you? I was like, that's funny. I don't know. I was gonna say if it pop up, because I don't remember. So let's get into it. On September 22nd, 2006, 16-year-old Cassie Jo Stoddart was house sitting for her aunt and uncle on Whispering Cliffs Drive in Northeast Bannock County. That evening, Cassie's boyfriend, Matt Beckham, arrived at the home around 6 p.m. Later, their classmates, Brian Draper and Tori Adamsick, we think is how you pronounce that, came over to hang out.
Cassie gave them a tour of the house, including the basement. Brian and Tori spent about 2 hours at the house before leaving. Before they left, Brian had unlocked the basement door so they could sneak back in later.
Sometime after leaving the home, the boys returned to the neighborhood, parked down the street, and put on some costumes. They quietly entered the home while Cassie and Matt watched TV in the living room.
They intentionally made loud noises in an attempt to lure the couple downstairs so they could scare them. When that didn't work, they found the circuit breaker and turned off the power in the house, hoping that Cassie and Matt would go downstairs to check the breaker. That didn't work either, so the boys turned some of the lights back on. So Cassie and Matt is unbothered at this point.
But they could hear the noises, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, you know how sometimes when you, like, if you're watching TV and you hear something, you're like, was that the TV or was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of what it was.
Maybe.
Besides the lights. I'm talking about the noises, not the lights.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then this is, maybe they knew, I don't know. Maybe they knew they were trying to prank. I don't know, because this is supposed to just be a prank.
According to them, that's what they're saying.
Okay.
But when we get too into it, you'll see.
Okay. So Matt notices that one of the dogs kept looking down the basement stairs and barking. Realizing that Cassie was scared, Matt called his mom and asked if he could spend the night with her to help her calm down. But she said no.
Because, I mean, they are kids.
Yeah, they're in
high
school. Well,
not kids, teenagers.
Even though, not to be funny, I thought that's what they did. I thought it was perfectly. Like, I can remember, like, having, like, white homegirls in high school, and they'd be like, yeah, my boyfriend stayed over. And I would just be like, oh, I can't even have a boyfriend.
But then were the parents there? Because she's house-sitting, so they're there, about, like, alone.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. She did offer to let Cassie stay at their house for the night, and she would bring Cassie back in the morning. But Cassie felt like it was her responsibility to care for the animals and stayed. They could have took... Well, I guess maybe she didn't think it was that serious. Because...
Yeah.
Why didn't she just... Well, and maybe she didn't want the dogs in her house, but...
And then I think it was more of she was getting paid for this. So I feel like she was being moral and was like, well, I can't get paid if I'm not here. Because she's supposed to be, you know,
I get what
she's
you're saying.
House sitting. Yeah.
She's just house sitting. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking, child, reading is fundamental. she was house sitting for her aunt. I said it. I was the one that said it. Okay.
It's giving.
The boy is missing. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
Bobby Dunbar. Bobby Dunbar, season one.
Yes. Okay. Matt's mother picked him up at about 10:30 p.m., leaving Cassie at the house alone. Matt called Tori's cell phone to see where he and Brian were so they could meet up. Matt said he could barely hear Tori, who was whispering, and just assumed they were at the movies. So I left that out, though. They did tell them that they were going to the movies.
Oh,
so that's why they weren't trying to prank them. I think that was just some kind of excuse. Because, I mean, we'll find out later. This whole thing was planned.
If you were even going to plan to prank someone, though, you would have to have a cover story. Like, you would have to have an alibi.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I would want them thinking, oh, it couldn't be them because they're at the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm assuming Matt didn't have a curfew, right? So why? Maybe his mom didn't want him there all night? Because he was planning on meeting up with them again, correct?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure she didn't want him there.
Okay. I'm just always thinking,
like, because they were alone,
like,
and you know what happens
when you leave. Yeah, so. that's true. I don't know. Because you see what I'm saying? Like, okay, well, no, you can't spend the night. But, I mean, if you want to stay a little later to make sure she's okay, then, like, stay till midnight. I don't know. Because if you were going to let him go out and run the streets again, who's to say that he wasn't going to go right back to her house?
Oh, I see what she's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. That's neither here nor
there. Maybe these are just honest kids, Brittany.
Oh, okay. Rare.
I know.
While in the basement, Brian and Tori heard Matt leave and turned the lights out again, hoping that Cassie would come downstairs. When that didn't work, they went upstairs. Brian was armed with a dagger-type weapon, and Tori had a hunting knife that they had recently purchased from a pawn shop. Brian slammed a closet door at the top of the stairs to scare Cassie, who was lying on the couch in the living room. The boys brutally attacked Cassie, stabbing her approximately 30 times. 12 of the wounds were potentially fatal.
At this point, it's looking like this was more than a prank, because if I was going to prank you, why would I show up with a real weapon?
Exactly.
I would have bought a little plastic knife from like the dollar store. Well, I wouldn't be doing this anyway. Yeah. I wouldn't be doing this anyway, because you just never know how people would respond. Like, it'd be different if y'all are both in the house, someone comes around the corner and you them. Even that's like questionable. Yeah. You might get hit. But I definitely wouldn't risk the chance of sneaking back into a house all for a prank. So
yeah, true. The next day, Matt met up with Tori while he repeatedly tried to call Cassie but got no response. Cassie's body was found 2 days later on September 24th, 2006. It didn't take long for investigators to determine that Brian and Tori were the last people to see Cassie alive. Police did consider her boyfriend Matt a suspect at first because he didn't show much emotion when they informed him of Cassie's death. And that can go either way, because everybody grieves different. Yeah. So, yeah, that can go either way.
I agree.
Yeah. Investigators gave Matt a polygraph test, which he passed with flying colors. He then told detectives that his friends Brian and Tori had also briefly been in the house. So that's how they figured that out. And there was another factor. How they knew that they were there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The boys told detectives that they had been at the movies at the time of the murder, but they couldn't tell detectives the name of the movie they had just seen.
Like, how can you not know?
Yeah, because you weren't at the movies. When confronted with their lie, Brian said they lied because they were actually breaking into cars and didn't want to get in trouble.
When Brian was being set up for a polygraph test, he got extremely emotional and said he needed to speak with the detectives. With his parents in the room, Brian said that he and Tori had gone back to the home that night to turn the power off and try and scare Cassie. He claimed that he was surprised when Tori started stabbing her for real. Crying, Brian said it wasn't supposed to happen. It was supposed to be a joke.
Why did y'all have a real
weapons?
It doesn't make that does not make any sense, especially because if it's dark, like I said earlier, if it's dark, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a fake weapon and a real weapon. So why? And then why they waited until Matt left? They heard Matt leave. Why were you just trying to scare Kat? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Brian eventually led detectives to an area near Black Rock Canyon where they had buried evidence. The evidence included two dagger-style knives with sheaths, a silver and black handled knife with a smooth blade, a folding knife, a red and white mask, latex gloves, and a videotape that contained footage of them planning Cassie's murder. The tape also had footage of them reacting to the murder.
So this is how I saw clips of the videotape on YouTube, and then that's how I found out about it. So I Googled it, and then I found a show that it was on where they talked about it,
because
I didn't know what it was. And I was like, why is this on YouTube? Somebody just uploaded like the tape, clips from the tape on the YouTube. I don't think that original video is there, but you can still find clips of it on YouTube.
Of them.
And that's,
planning
of them
it out.
Planning it. And And afterwards, they filmed after, leaving her house and everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's stupid. They're stupid, which thank goodness that they were, because this was probably pretty significant in evidence.
Mm-hmm. Because, Brian, but that's the thing, though, because he tried to put it all off on Tori, but he was the one who led them to the tape.
And he was the one in the tape, correct?
Yeah, both of them.
Oh, wait, no, you haven't got there. You haven't got, I'm sorry, you have not even got there just yet. So what he says, because I'm just like, you, okay.
Yeah.
You sitting up here trying to act all like, oh, I didn't know.
And was up there crying and all kind of stuff, trying to blame the other person. Because he probably did that because he knew he was going to fail the lie detector test. So he tried to like get in front of it and blame Tori.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm not for sure if they actually did take a polygraph test since he started talking. So they were like, well, maybe we don't need to give them the test.
Were there lawyers involved, like, right away? Like, when they had them at the station? Because I can even see a lawyer.
I don't think so. I think their parents were there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I know their parents were there.
Because I know their parents were there when he was about to take the lie detector test.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure they had lawyers after that.
Okay. Because I'm like, I'm wondering if he
Because they would have
advised.
To, because he pretty much admitted it. He admitted being true. In the house. He admitted being, so... I'm pretty sure they had to have lawyers.
Okay. So at this point, they have them on footage planning the attack and then just after the attack. Of them reacting the murder or...
No, reacting to it after they did it. They
Yeah. I was like, God. That's so crazy.
No,
that's
they
so
were
insane.
Filming their reactions right
Got
after.
You. It's even more... It's still insensitive.
Yeah. So on this tape, Brian could be heard saying, just killed Cassie. We just left her house. This is not a fucking joke. I stabbed her in the throat and I saw her lifeless body. So this is Brian, the one who said Tori was the one who was stabbing her. Yeah.
And said he didn't think that they were really going to stab her.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They also mentioned being inspired by the Columbine High School shooters and the film Scream.
They mentioned it in the reaction video.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Not unless he was in shock. Because like you said, just like you don't know how your body's going to respond to grief, you don't know how your body's going to respond to shock.
The only thing is, you haven't seen any of the clips, right?
No. That's why I asked what I asked today.
Oh.
No, I haven't. I have not.
The whole thing, though, they have, like, they planned it. They were on tape planning it. So I don't know. Maybe they were in shock because I feel like, because they actually went through with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was premeditated. They planned it. Why would you film yourself, though? That's the whole thing.
I don't know.
They were... at school talking about it, because the tape they were at school, one of the clips I saw.
That's crazy.
So yeah, but I want to say I'm pretty sure you can find even if you find a true crime YouTuber you know, talking about it, I'm pretty sure they have the clips in their episodes.
Yeah,
because I yeah.
Okay.
It'll be easy to find. Just put her name in on YouTube and those tapes will pop up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look. On April 17th, 2007, Brian Draper was found guilty of first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Tori Adamczyk's trial began on May 31st, 2007, and he was convicted of the same charges. They both received life sentences without the possibility of parole, plus 30 years to life for conspiracy to commit murder.
Brian and Tori are still serving their sentence at the Idaho State Correctional Institution. In September 2010, an appeal was filed on behalf of Tori and one for Brian in 2011. Both appeals were denied, and they are now appealing their convictions in higher courts. But I don't think they're going to remain in prison because, I mean, y'all did it.
Yeah. What are you going to argue?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to argue that you were changed? Like, is that even.
Even that I don't think would help because you killed somebody.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were they minors? Even if they were minors still. It was premeditated. Y'all knew what y'all were doing. Y'all planned this for I don't know how long. And y'all went, I mean, y'all snuck back in the house. And then so they weren't her friends. I think they were Matt's friends, but I don't even think they really were like close like that. So I don't even know why they were there in the first place. But I mean, because if I'm not mistaken, they just randomly picked her because they were like, they were saying how they wanted to kill somebody. And they just randomly decided on her for whatever reason. So y'all knew what y'all were doing.
Yeah, they definitely knew what they were doing. They definitely, like you said, planned it out. And it was, I don't know, it was just the severity at which they did it. Because they did it approximately 30 times. Like, what was what was the purpose of this? Just to do it?
And then it was one of those things where they saw, and it's messed up. But they saw how famous the Columbine shooters were, and they wanted that. They wanted their names out there like that to be famous for the attention, basically. Because, you know, there are the Columbine shooters. They have fan clubs.
They do?
Weird. Yes. Yes. Tumblr. If you were ever on Tumblr, I wasn't on Tumblr like that. But there are groups like on Tumblr dedicated to them.
No.
And it's crazy. And I'm pretty sure that's what they were going for. Because for them to be inspired by that.
Like a moment like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole Columbine thing, that was real big on Tumblr. All those girls with like crushes on them. You know how, what do you call them?
Ew. The Columbine shooters. They had crushes on the Columbine shooter. Okay.
Yes. So, what do you call, you know how those edits that you always see on Twitter with like the K-pop people, what are those called? So they'll have edits of like their pictures and videos of them with like music in the background. It was a lot of that on Tumblr. With those two, the Columbine shooters.
Eric David Harris and Dylan Bennett Kleboyd. Kilbold. Sorry, what was I gonna say? Them though, okay, because I think that's what I was gonna say earlier, but I didn't want to be insensitive, even though they are murderers. So, but I was thinking, so obviously this was pointless, or I guess for them, there was a point. They wanted to be remembered, they wanted to look like the Columbine shooters, but the Columbine shooters committed suicide, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like they were never technically captured. That's what it's saying on.
Yeah. And then I believe the Columbine shooting, was that before? Because I think they were inspired by Natural Born Killers. You remember that movie with, what's her name, Juliette Lewis and Woody Harrelson?
Mm-hmm. I've never watched it. It's in my list to watch. I've never watched it, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because I know that movie got a lot of backlash.
Which, I mean, that's an excuse. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're using that as an excuse. Like, you can be inspired. You can be inspired all you want, but you still took someone's life. Like, we watch scary movies all the time. We don't go out killing people. I played violent video games. I didn't go out killing people.
I was going to say video games. Yeah.
I was just going to say something about that earlier when you were talking about that being the reason first thing that came to my mind was, wait a minute, but they committed suicide. So you did this, and then what was going to be your plan? Were you just going to walk around? And then they recorded themselves. You did this, you recorded yourself doing it. So what were you going to do? Which, thank God, it don't matter because you're in jail anyway. You're in prison. But like, what was your plan after that was my thing.
Yeah. And then I was like, because they were inspired by Scream too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, again, Scream is I think Scream is a parody, right? It's technically a parody.
Well, yeah, they weren't, the two of them, they weren't people to look up to. They wanted them to look stupid. Like the two killers, like when they stabbed each other, it was because it was stupid. Like, look how dumb y'all look. Y'all killed all these people, had this plan. The plan is stupid. Like, so it shouldn't have been something that made somebody go, oh man, we should do this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hate when people try to blame it on like stuff like that, because even there was, I don't know if you heard about them. There was these two boys. they were listening. You know the group, the Sex Pistols?
Yes.
So it was one of their songs. They were saying, like, if you played it backwards, they were saying, do it.
Yeah.
And they took it to mean commit suicide. And they tried. Yeah. I think one of them survived. And he's, like, really disfigured. And it's
gosh.
But I'm like, that could have meant anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
That's true. There was something already underlying, like some underlying mental issue, mental health issue that caused them to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad that they did record themselves. I'm glad that Brian basically snitched, even though he wasn't telling the complete truth. And it didn't matter because they're both sitting rotting in prison. So.
Because I was like, I think even without the tape, they would have gotten convicted because they admitted to being there. Brian admitted that Tori stabbed her, even though they both stabbed her. But I would think without the tape, he probably would have gotten a lighter sentence because I don't think they would have been able to prove that he actually stabbed her. So
that's what I was thinking. Or even prove that it was premeditated.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Because, yeah, I was thinking that as you were talking.
Yeah, because I mean, down to the details, they planned it on tape.
It's crazy.
On tape.
That is crazy.
So, yeah, I think that was pretty much could be our final thoughts because.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's bothering me that I can't remember what show that. And it could have just been a YouTuber that I saw it because I do remember seeing that before. I heard anything about it because I was like, what is this? Because it was no context. It was just somebody just uploaded the clips with no like no description or nothing. Because I don't even know what made me watch it, honestly.
Yeah, because you're into stuff like that.
But I didn't know what it was. It was literally just when I first saw it, I just saw the clips from the video of them. But whoever uploaded it, the title of the YouTube video was just Cassie Jo Stoddard. And there was no details in the description, nothing. That video, I believe, was deleted. But again, a lot of people have covered this, so I'm pretty sure they have the clips.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, they have one of the first clips that pops up is Cassie Jo Stoddard's Killers YouTube. And it looks like a clip of them in like interrogation. Oh, and planning. Did they plan it at school?
That's what I... Bro, you do not be listening to me. Because
no,
I said
they,
one
I
of the,
about the
clips they
My
were
bad.
At school talking about it. Yeah.
You did say that. My bad.
Yeah.
I do listen to you. I just forgot. Yeah, they have them on YouTube.
Okay.
Bad. Okay. Well, that is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast. Twitter at Pod Strange World and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms D mentioned. Even if you just want to say, hey there, we will be here.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All. And thank you as always for keeping it strange with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.